praying about the lesson this week, and I found something in the Bible that has a number of promises attached to it. I made a little list of them here. The fruit of the topic that we're going to talk about today is I have specific promises in the Bible that say that that with this you can ask for whatever you want and it'll be done for you. Okay, so ask. It really says that ask anything you want and it will be done for you. This topic will provide for you a way, the only way to produce an abundance of fruit. This topic will produce for you a fullness of joy, and this topic will produce for you a freedom from sin. And that's just four things out of just a huge number of things that you can find about this topic. And but I just wanted to get your attention with that. That again, that we can ask for whatever we want and it'll be done. That it'll produce an abundance of fruit in our lives that gives glory to God. That'll provide for us a fullness of joy, and that'll provide for us a freedom from sin. And if you haven't figured it out by the John 15 reference, my topic this morning is abiding. And all those things that I just said are in the Bible and are attached to the word abide, okay? And abide, which I'm sure you've heard so many teachings about, but it's just that simple word that means to remain. You know, just wrote down a number of definitions: to remain, to stay, to stand fast, to stay at home, to not wander off. From what I could find, it kind of has the reference like you're staying at someone else's house, and to abide there is just you're going to remain there and not keep moving on. Okay, and so. And John, you know, this is such a big deal to John. John used this word, this one word, abide. John used it 53 times in his letters, okay? 53. By far the most in the Bible. And it was just a huge deal, and I really think John got it. And I'm pulling my lesson from a lot of different places in John, actually. But the main thing, I got most of these things that I talked about in John 15, and so that's where we're going to start. John 15, 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And I just want to explain this as we go just a little bit. But you notice, he said, I'm the true vine, okay? And have you ever thought about that? Why does he say, I'm the true vine? Why does he use the word true in there? And really what it is in the Old Testament, if you look up what the vine is and what the reference is for vine, the vine is Israel, okay? The vine is the Jewish people, okay? That's constantly what the reference is talking about. And so the thought comes along with that, with this whole vine thing, because there's this vine and everything that comes out of its fruit. And so the thinking is that the Jews are the vine, and everything attached to them can get attached to that blessing that the Jewish people have, okay? So everything's about the blessing on Israel. And that being just this ultimate source of how you're going to produce fruit and how you're going to get what you're looking for in the Lord. But Jesus comes in and says, no, that's just a type. I'm the true vine. I'm really where you're going to get life from. I'm where you're going to get salvation from. It's not Israel. It's not this people. It's me. That's what he's saying here. So that's what that means. I'm the true vine, okay? My Father is the vine dresser. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. That's a good lesson there. But keep going. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. Jonathan, I don't know if I hit record on that. You did? Got it, thanks. If anyone does not, verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You see where I'm getting those things I talked about at the beginning. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that your joy may, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Okay. Pretty awesome. One of the best, just most practical, you know, how do I walk out a Christian life kind of sections in the whole Bible. And just reading through this, I just noticed a couple things. This abiding almost seems to, we all have this question, like, how do I abide? Like, how do I really do that? And we're going to get to that. But what does it mean to abide? I get that it means to remain. I think most of us have heard that definition. But how do I do that? Day to day, how do I remain where? Where am I staying at? You know, what am I? And what I'm kind of learning here is that abiding is all about Christ put me in a place. He's the one that put me here. He put what he did on the cross, that put me in Christ. That gave me everything I have, and it's all because of grace. And so if I'm not starting from that place of grace, I don't have anywhere to even abide. I don't know where I'm at. I got to start from that place of receiving Jesus by the grace of God, by faith. But it seems like after that, the harder thing, abiding isn't some super hard work where second to second in my daily life I have to think about, am I abiding, am I abiding, am I abiding? That doesn't seem to be it. It actually seems to be just stay where you are, and just the main thing you need to not do is just don't leave, okay? Don't leave. Don't go chasing other things, and we're going to talk about what that looks like. But I just in the little section we read, I want you to look at verse 3 and 4 again. 3 says, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. That's Jesus' starting point before he goes into the lesson about abiding. Already you are clean. And I would say half of us don't know how to abide or have a hard time abiding because of that. We don't already know that we're clean because of the word he's spoken. That's why half of us can't abide. We haven't got that yet. We haven't accepted that Jesus already gave us this cleanness, you know, that he already gave us a starting point and a place to stay at. Okay? Half of us don't get that, so we can't abide. Now keep reading verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So apart from me, you can do nothing. So that's how big a deal abiding is going to be in your life. Abiding produces all this fruit. Not abiding produces nothing. If you want to know how, you know, if you have fears of wasting your life, if you know, this is the main way to waste your life. Don't abide, because if you're not abiding, you can't do anything. And so half of us don't get that we're already clean, and the other half of us think that we can still do things apart from Christ. Those are the two main wars we're in abiding. Not knowing what I already have, or maybe thinking I can go do things on my own still. I haven't been humbled enough to know that I have to stay in Jesus to produce anything. So, do you get that? That's two real basic things that we're going to struggle with daily that's going to keep us from abiding. And it's just so important to get. He says things like this, that you can't do anything apart from me, and he says it because that's what he was doing. I mean, he says he didn't do anything apart from the Father's will. So he didn't do anything on his own. He was relying on the Father just like we need to rely on him. And so, making good timing this morning. Last thing I wrote, just how big of a concept is this, is that just everything. If you look back at your life, when you're at the end of your life and you look back, guaranteed, if this verse is true, which it is, if you look back at your life, every good, truly valuable thing you've done in your life is going to come from abiding, okay? There's not one thing in your life that you've ever produced that's truly valuable to God that came from yourself or came from not abiding. Everything came from abiding. It's how big a deal this is. And so how do we abide? We have that question then, okay? All of us can probably agree with most of that, but how do I do it? How do I get up in the morning and know if I'm abiding or not? And it's more, I need you guys to see this. John 6, 56. The Bible actually tells us how to know if we're abiding. To me, abiding is going to be a lot of things, but it's ultimately this. John 6, 56. I want everyone to see it. We can start at 55 if you want. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. 56. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Isn't that interesting? Okay. So how do I abide? I abide by eating his flesh and drinking his blood. The most basic, you know, central thing. Again, every lesson that we have, everything that we're learning to do as Christians goes back to what Jesus did on the cross. And we abide by feeding on his flesh and drinking his blood. Okay? Maybe some of you guys say, okay, how do I eat his flesh and drink his blood? And I'm just going to say, it's faith. Faith is that thing you have that chooses what you're feeding on. Okay? It's that internal, whether it's a choice or a mindset or whatever it is, faith is that thing inside you that chooses, am I going to feed on this? Am I going to source life from this? Okay? It chooses. And my faith being directly in Jesus' body and blood, him dying on the cross, what he did right there. I mean, the more centralized I can get my faith on that, the more I'm going to produce this abiding thing, okay? That's what it is. He did all the work. He took care of all the stuff. His work is finished, and me abiding is me just keeping my faith in him and what he's done. And that's why every word we have is about our faith. It's about lies that get our faith, you know, coming and going in these different things. And so, trying to think through just how to practically do this, I take it as literal as that. I don't know how to explain it in some deep, you know, mystical way. I try not to even think of it as being too. This is just really what I do. When in my best times when I'm abiding, I'm waking up, and I'm getting my mind set. I don't leave my mind to be something that's blown around when I'm at my best, okay? I get my mind set on what Jesus did for me. When I go to pray, I want this promise in effect, that I want to ask whatever I want and it will be done for me. And so to do that, I want to make sure I'm abiding. So what I do when I'm doing well and I'm praying, I'm not just throwing up a prayer with some, you know, vague hope that just maybe God will hear it, you know, and have enough compassion. Okay, I'm centralizing my faith, which means I'm actually thinking through this, and I'm thinking, Jesus, you died for me. The only way I get anything from you is because of what you did on the cross. I put all my requests that I'm about to give to you, I'm basing it on what you did for me on the cross. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you for your blood. Without that, I have nothing. I can't even go to the Father. Okay? I just have no ground to stand on except for the cross. That's when I'm at my best, when I'm so focused on what Jesus did for me. And I'm trusting. I'm not begging. Okay? I'm not just... Sometimes I get this mindset where I don't think God's going to answer me, so I beg. Like, I just keep asking and asking and asking without any kind of faith. It's just more of a beg, you know? And then sometimes I'm just like, I feel so sure because of what Jesus did for me that he's going to answer this prayer. And that's what it really is. That's that abiding, faith-filled prayer. But it just goes from, where did I start from? Where did my whole prayer start from? Okay? You can do a 10-second prayer that's centered from abiding in what he did for us and have it be more powerful than, you know, begging God for a year. That's so true. And so that's one thing. That's just one area. How do I pray when I'm doing well? I'm doing it from an abiding place. John 15:10 is going to go on to say, we read it, but it just says that if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. That's just another practical, how do I abide? Keep commandments. You know, all these things I'm going to talk about today, I'll just go ahead and give it to you. It's just going to be about the simple things we already have been given to do. I mean, prayer, faith, obey, you know, focus on Jesus, source from Jesus. It's just all the simple, basic Christian things. And I want to take all these things that we do every day that sometimes get pushed down because they are everyday things. And I want to bring them back to the forefront of your minds, how powerful these basic things are that we're walking out as Christians. But just like I said, as simple as that, keeping commandments leads to abiding. Following small, you know, nudges of the Holy Spirit, following the Word, having an importance, like, man, the Word says this, I've got to do this. The Holy Spirit's telling me to do this, I've got to do this. There's no saying no. Because if I say no, I'm not abiding. And I get how big a deal is abiding and not abiding, okay? I've got to obey. And John 8 is going to say something like, it has that command to abide in my word. We can read it if you want. John 8:31 says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then 34, he goes on to say, truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. We probably all heard that verse, and we probably all crave and look for that freedom, okay? That freedom from whatever thing we've been in bondage to, because we all get in these bondages. And here it is. It's like, how do I get free? Okay, Jesus is like, if I set you free, you'll be free indeed. You'll be truly, fully free, okay? But how do I know I'm getting free? And it goes back to, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That all started from abiding in his word, okay? So, again, just this practical, simple being in the word. I'm hoping to raise your value for it again, because we all get washed down to where life gets more important than stuff like this. And here it is. Man, this, abiding in this, abiding in his teachings, abiding in what he said, I mean, staying in them, not running to other things, you know, staying here, feeding myself with this daily is going to produce freedom. It produces, man, I wish we could just take one big step back in our lives and see if I invest this little bit in the Word, just how much return of freedom it produces. If I invest this much into a faith-filled prayer, how much does that return? I wish we could just see that, you know, and we don't. We have to trust it, but this is what the Word's saying. And it's just so much easier than what we think. I really have over the years made abiding out to be this crazy hard thing that I just have to, I'll read these books, you know, like Secrets to Abide, you know, and it's just, and there's all these things, and it makes it seem like a huge work, you know, and he's just already done it. If I could just understand that grace that he's already done it, and I'm just staying in grace and not getting lured out. And, you know, it's the opposite of the way of the world, because the way of the world really is to grow and to advance and to get a higher status and to keep working and to keep getting, and eventually at your life you can look, I've worked for all this. That's the way of the world, which is, okay, fine. But the way of the disciple is to remain. The way of the disciple, I mean, our Christian life isn't about that. My Christian life isn't about working and earning and gaining and getting a higher status. That's not what it is. My Christian life, being a disciple, is about remaining. It's about staying. It's the exact opposite of the world. So I wrote a couple things. How to not fail in your abiding. I just wrote just a couple things that come to mind. I wrote, every time I look for joy and pursue pleasure in something other than the Lord, I'm failing to abide, okay? Why? Because I got the promise already that I read. If you abide here, I'm telling you this so that your joy would be full. That's the reason Jesus gave us that lesson, so your joy would be full. And so every time I'm tempted to think that this other thing will give me more joy than Jesus will, I'm leaving my abiding place. I'm leaving this. I'm not trusting the joy he's going to give in abiding, and I'm going off in something else. Every time I feel guilt for something I've done and try to earn my way back, I'm failing to abide, okay? If I sin today and I try to make it up to God and I make God promises, I'll do this for you, I'll do this for you, if you just, you know, man, that's not abiding. That has nothing to do with abiding. That has to do with me being on the outside trying to get in. Okay, And abiding is about me being on the inside and just not getting out of there, okay? But, man, why are we so tempted to do that? God, you know, God, I'll make it up to you. God, I'll do this. God, I'll get my life together. God, I promise this. Man, I don't have any ability to do that because I'm not abiding when I say stuff like that. Every time I go through a long drought of not praying or not being in the Word, I know I'm not abiding, you know, because, man, prayer is all about relying on God, you know, that's relying on what Jesus did for me. That's as simple as what prayer is. It's just, God, I need you, okay, and I'm asking for your help. So if I go a long time without praying, without really sitting down and praying, I know I'm probably not abiding because I'm not, don't feel any need for Jesus. And if you're in that place, if you're where you're at right now and you want to abide more, I would say get yourself in a place where you need Jesus, where you actually need him. Put yourself in a situation where you need him. Give all your money away or go on a mission or do something where you need him. And, you know, at least then you'll be praying and you'll have that urgency in your heart of how much you need to abide in what he's done for you. Okay? So, and it could just be such a practical thing. I'm going to probably cut it short. But I was thinking, like I said, when I'm doing poorly, I'm going through these long seasons without word or without prayer or without any of these things. When I'm doing well, I know when I'm doing well because when I there's this pattern I do where I get up for work and I drive down Olive Street and I go to work. And that Olive Street drive is sometimes the best moment of my day, even though it's only a couple minutes long. And when I'm doing my best, that Olive Street prayer while I'm driving looks like it starts out, God, I need you. God, I'm probably going to destroy everything in my life today without you. God, I this is how much I need you. I'm going to be grumpy and hate everyone today unless you come and help me. God, I want to be a light today to everyone I'm around. God, just that need for God, and everyone of you guys can do that on your way to school and work or when you wake up or before you wake your kids up or whatever you're doing, just that urgency that I need you. So that's my lesson, and hopefully accomplished that we see the need to abide, that we see the need for Jesus. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask for every single one of us that you would wake up our hearts and give us just an extreme focus and clearness on what Jesus did for us on the cross, and that we would by faith eat his flesh and drink his blood and stay where you put us. We thank you that for the grace that you've done all the work for us. Thank you, Jesus. We can't thank you enough. Amen.